following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
So, I guess I failed to introduce myself. I'm sorry about that. My name is Eric Hedberg. I have the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel Covenant Church. And this morning, we're going to be continuing in the series called New Beginnings. Whether they knew it or not, I'm pretty sure they did know it. I think it was in an email somewhere. The BC Teen Challenge guys were the beginning of this New Beginnings series. Because I wasn't here, but I've heard about it. Had the opportunity to hear from these men from BC Teen Challenge who are having very significant new beginnings in their lives. New beginnings full of grace, full of restoration, full of health. And we got the chance to hear about those things and to hear the way that God is working in their lives and starting things new in their lives. And we're going to continue to hear stories of God and Jesus and people they encounter with new beginnings. And we picked this series because that's kind of the season we're in right now, isn't it? I was saying at Family Circle this morning, I didn't really realize that when I would be starting this series would actually be the day before school starts for, you know, most of our kids, but there we are. That's this fall season. You know, there's new school, new grades, all of that stuff. Teachers are starting back to school, maybe started back on Friday or Thursday. There are folks in our congregation who have new jobs, who have new responsibilities at work, who have moved here, who are moving to new homes, all of that stuff. It's a season of new beginnings. It's a season of new beginnings for me. This is a different role. It's not, you know, immediately new, but it's still new, right? You know, 9 weeks is still 10 weeks, whatever. It's still pretty new to be doing something. And so what better way to explore what our Heavenly Father has to say about new beginnings than by taking a few weeks to look at some of those specific stories in Scripture of new beginnings, of Jesus and God encountering people and walking with them and sharing in their new beginnings. We'll be looking at what we can learn as individuals from these stories and what we can learn as a church from these stories. We're actually all going to open up together in prayer this morning. One of the things we did at the men's retreat was pray a prayer together in the beginnings and the ends of each session. So I thought that was kind of a cool way for us to be kind of worshiping with and praying with in spirit with those guys who are still down at the men's retreat, although it's over and they're on their way back. But we can kind of, we'll do like that time travel thing where we're praying the prayer with them a couple hours ago. So let's pray. We pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. So we're going to be looking at the fourth chapter of John this morning. So feel free to turn there in your Bibles or your Bible apps. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring one to you. That's one of the great joys of our church family, to give the Word of God to those who desire it. So I'm going to be reading a pretty big chunk here in John 4. It's a story of Jesus encountering a Samaritan woman. So I'd invite you, if you want to read along, if that's the way you're best able to enter in, by all means do that. But feel free to just sort of, I mean, even close your eyes, don't fall asleep, but close your eyes and put yourself in this place as Jesus encounters this woman at the well. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who went with me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world." So new beginnings. This woman has had a number of new beginnings. At least six just in her relationships. She had five husbands, and the man she's currently with, she isn't married to. So at least six times she has tried to start on her own, new, with men. We don't know why these previous husbands didn't work out. We can probably guess. You know, it could be a number of reasons. You know, maybe there's abuse of some sort. You know, maybe she's a widow. Maybe she was adulterous, and so previous husbands divorced her. Maybe it was the reverse of that. Maybe she just picked men who were not a good match for her at all. Regardless, after each of those first four marriages ended, for whatever reason, she tried again. She began again. She figured maybe she could make something different on her own. Or maybe the man she was marrying was that different, or something situationally would be different enough that this next marriage would succeed. She thought she could make a big enough change on her own. But something changed in her, I guess, after that fifth marriage ended. And maybe that was kind of the last straw for her as marriage went. She probably figured, you know, what's the point? This new relationship's going to end, so I'll just wait for it to happen and not get too committed. And it's in that context that she heads to the well. In the middle of the day, probably, you know, the hottest point in the day, hoping probably to avoid most folks, because I bet it's safe to say she wouldn't be people's favorite person in town. She was probably a bit of an outcast in the Samaritan town she lived in. And then she would be even that much more of an outcast to any Jew. As far as Orthodox Jews would have been concerned, she had three strikes against her. First and foremost, she was a Samaritan, and the Jews just did not get along well with the Samaritans at all. Second, she was a woman, not someone Jewish men would have been talking to freely. And third, she would have been considered a sinner. She had had five husbands, and the man she was currently living with, she wasn't even married to. So again, all of that context helps us to understand just how incredible it is that Jesus talks to her, first of all, and then asks her for a drink. And it's a little bit, like, even that much more shocking for readers, because just before, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, who is, you know, the exact opposite of that. He is this upright Jewish leader who maybe people would be expecting the Messiah to be talking to. And so there's that play on who Jesus ministers to, who Jesus encounters, who Jesus shares himself with. You know, I bet she was a little frustrated to find someone sitting there at the well at all. She'd probably hoped to escape for a little bit, getting some water, having some peace and quiet on her walk to and from the well. But there he was, this Jewish man, who spoke to her and asked her for a drink. Jesus begins to talk to the Samaritan woman and preaches to her about living water and about who he is. And not too shockingly, I think it's fair, the Samaritan woman isn't immediately ready to just grab on to what Jesus is telling her. She kind of tiptoes around the whole water thing, asking fair questions, but questions that clearly weren't what Jesus was getting at. You know, she even says she wants that water so she doesn't have to make this walk back to the well ever. Wouldn't that be nice? But Jesus doesn't let her off the hook. He continues to explain. He continues to draw her back to the real answer to all her questions, the real source to her life, the real way that she can have a new beginning that means something, a new beginning that sticks, a new beginning that is about living out what Jesus is calling her to, not what she can do alone. Jesus asks her straight out about her marriages and living situations, and to her credit, the woman is honest. She owns up to her life, the truth of it. She doesn't shy away from her own history or from her own story. She somehow isn't afraid to tell Jesus about who she is, sins and all. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? She had just met him, and here she is willing to share this. It says to me what a presence Jesus must have had for this woman to open up in that way. She completely owns up to this life with multiple husbands and living with this man who isn't her husband currently. She confesses her sins to this man she just met at the well, a man she had just had a rather bizarre conversation with about water, about living water that would sustain her forever. This woman was clearly searching for something more than what she was used to, something better than the life she was currently living, something substantial that she couldn't get to on her own. It took some doing, some asking, and some questioning, but it's pretty evident that this Samaritan woman was ready for a real new beginning. She was ready for a new beginning that wasn't just on her, that was rooted in something substantial, something powerful, and something real, Jesus. Jesus' disciples came back, and they did their typical disciple thing. I laugh every time I read it, making observations that Jesus had to clear up for them, making assumptions and making statements that were based on a totally different paradigm than Jesus was using. The food thing is just, it's just so funny. He says, you know, I have food that you don't know about. And their response is, well, who could have brought him food? Not, yeah. I mean, I guess we're only four chapters into John, so maybe we can give the disciples a little bit of grace there. But Jesus takes this opportunity to open the eyes of the disciples to reimagine who they can and ought to be ministering to. Again, it's that huge shift from Nicodemus to the Samaritan woman at the well. And as Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, the Samaritan woman drops her water jug and heads back to town, so excited to share with these people in her town who she had just met and what she had just heard. This is one beautiful outward example of the words that Jesus spoke to this woman earlier. Indeed, the water I give you will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is that spring of water welling up inside this woman. She desperately wants to go and share her story with the people of her town. She wants other people to meet the Jesus that she just met. She wants other people to know about this living water, this water that is welling up inside her to eternal life. There's a lot in this story that's left to our imagination. Personally, I'm really shocked that she was able to win over these townspeople, and it seems like pretty quickly, to share her story in a way that had them rushing to meet Jesus. I don't imagine that she was someone who was super well trusted or who people would go to with their theological or religious questions. She clearly wasn't an authority on that. But she was an authority on herself and her own story and what Jesus had told her despite her story. Jesus gave her hope. Jesus gave her a new purpose. Jesus gave her new life. Jesus gave her the ultimate new beginning. And she must have spoken that in an absolutely incredible way to the people of her town. And to their credit, they listened. And they received her. They allowed her to tell her story of redemption and forgiveness, and story of meeting Jesus, the source of eternal life. The town had open arms, even if maybe it took a little bit of prying to get them open. For this woman who needed a new beginning, and who is telling them all about it. This town has a lot to teach us about how we can and should be responding to those that Jesus has given a new beginning. This town gives us a great example of what kind of enthusiasm and energy can be gained from sharing in a new beginning with others. So how do we as a church, how can we as a church open our doors and our arms to those who have new beginnings? Last week was a wonderful example of that, allowing these men from BC Teen Challenge to come and to share their stories of new beginnings, for us to have open arms welcoming them here. But one Sunday a year doesn't quite do it. How can we continue to build on that and support folks in that? There's a lot, again, that we can fill in about this story, a lot of the what happens next. We don't read a lot of the what happens next with the woman. We know that she has this wonderful new beginning from Jesus, but I also think we can safely say that in the coming days and weeks and months, life isn't easy. I mean, she must have encountered all kinds of challenges, but her family probably had a little bit of a hard time embracing this new change. I'm sure the man that she was living with was like, uh-oh, something's changing. This probably doesn't mean great things for me unless I do something about it. You know, and so what then is the townspeople's role in that? How do they support her as those challenges come up? As she tries to figure out what and how to live into this new beginning that Jesus has just given her? So I believe this text really begs two important questions from us. The first is, who are those people in our life that need a new beginning? Who are those people in our life that need a new beginning? And the second question is, what is our role in supporting people with new beginnings. There are those that we encounter on a daily basis that need a new beginning that sticks, a new beginning that is real, a new beginning that is not just from them, but from the one who supplies living water, water that will well up inside them to eternal life. And we have an opportunity then to introduce those people to Jesus, to the Jesus that we know. There are also lots of folks who have met Jesus and who Jesus has started something new and exciting in. And we have to open our doors and our arms to those folks to hear their stories, to talk with them, and to support them when all of this new beginning stuff is hard, because it will be hard. Who are those people in our life that need a new beginning? And what is our role in supporting people in their new beginnings? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of new beginnings, a God that never leaves us the way we are, a God that invites us and calls us to new and better and fuller every single day. Be with us as we ourselves encounter new beginnings in our lives, and as we support and encourage and walk with those who we encounter who are entering their own new beginnings with you, Lord. God, we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.